Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. You have such a distinguished guest, I figured I wouldn't even jump in here. I don't know if I'm worthy to be in the same room
with
these people.
You're going to be a loss for words for a change? That's going to be interesting. Okay, so if anybody is thinking of tuning in, definitely tune in, because it very rarely is Paul a loss for words. And we might have that kind of a unique experience today.
Well, today you have a real CNN hero, and I'm moved by those kinds of stories here. So,
well, you know, the interesting thing is, in Orange County, we were just talking about like history of Orange County and stuff like that. I think we probably both came to the United States roughly around the same time. You know, we kind of probably crossed paths. We were trying to figure out if we actually ran into each other back in the 80s or not. You know, a little further north in Orange County, but it's very interesting. There's a lot of people that are giving and doing, and we've had the fortune of having a bunch of them on the show, that kind of go uncelebrated, that we do, you know, they're not really doing it for the recognition,
right?
And it's really nice when those people get some, you know, kind of exposure. In the case of my guest, I would say that he has gotten exposure for what he
a little
does,
bit, yeah.
but very deservingly. And I think it all comes from the right place, which is really what it's really a pleasure to have you here, Bruno. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for inviting me. It's always cool to be on the mic.
So introduce him.
To people like you guys.
We all know Bruno. The name says it all, Chef Bruno. But give us a little introduction.
That's one title, right?
Buongiorno.
So what do you like to be called, Bruno? Because, I mean, do I say Sir Bruno? What do I call
Chef Bruno?
When people call me Sir, because, you know, as you know, I got knighted by the president in Italy. I say, you know, it's a little bit too much. I said, maybe you can bow, but you don't have to call me.
a little nod, maybe. But
so when we finish the show, I'll make sure to curtsy. And, but no, yeah. I mean, that's it. How exciting! When was that, Bruno?
That was probably 4 years ago, and I was. As you know, I'm Italian. I mean, when the Italian...
Is that? I've been trying to put the accent. Italian,
no,
that's
I also have a French accent. I'm confusing people. I have to confuse people. Because mom and dad went to France in 1950 after World War II. And that's the reason I lived there for 10 years, and I went to school in France. I speak French.
You do actually have kind of, you kind of go in and out of both of them when I listen
oui,
carefully.
Merci yeah. beaucoup. Bonjour. Yeah. on peut parler français. You can speak any language you want. But coming back to the knighted, the Italian consul called me one night 4 years ago. He said, Signor Bruno, I have something special to tell you. I said, yes, what? Say, we're going to do a celebration next month. You got being knighted by the president of Italy. And the first thing I ask him, which I make him laugh, I say, I get knighted. Do I get a horse because I get knighted? Because you're a knight as a horse and a sword.
And a sword. Right? You got to get a sword.
I said, I can get my own sword. I say, I can get my own outfit, but maybe a government
will give me. Who's going to give me the horse?
He say, no, Bruno, just a medal. I say, okay. But I'll keep the joke in a way. It was funny because this is one of the biggest awards, not an award, the biggest title you can get in Italy, because remember, we used to be a monarchy.
Sure.
Yeah,
before 1945.
King Emmanuel, right?
Yeah, Emanuele from Savoya, and he does the House of
Savoy. The House of Savoy, yeah, right.
And I mean, to be
I know my history. I know my history.
I know, I give you some tests, but you do pretty good so far. But it'd be cool to be knighted because it's a really higher title for an Italian citizen.
Yeah.
And thanks to President Napolitano. Then.
So was it just recognizing what you have been doing? Did somebody recommend it?
Yes, it was recommended probably from the Italian Council of Los Angeles, because he knew what I was doing in South California, and I've been, as you mentioned, CNN, Hero, I've been on ABC, NBC, People Magazine, all over the world for what they do as my project. I mean, when he find that out, he did a request at the Italian government in Rome, And I was immediately accepted because even in Italy, I was getting recognized on TV show for what I'm doing with my own charity, basically.
And let's talk about what it is. So let's start with the fact that you had the White House here in Anaheim for how many years?
That I bought the White House in 1987 with was my business partner Dan, which now I own by myself, but he used to be my boss at the former restaurant. I used to work at La Via Rosa. We got the White House in 87 together. And it's been a long time, 30 years. So this year is my 30 years anniversary.
Happy anniversary. And we'll talk about that because it's interesting that on your anniversary, you're going through something with it when it comes to that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What made you, I'm curious, what made you look at Anaheim?
But the reason, when I was working at La Vie en Rose, I got selected Metrodie of the Year in 1985. And my previous boss came in 1984. I was really working there for 4 years.
And where's La Vie en Rose? Is that in
Brea?
It was in Brea, which
does not exist anymore, but right. It was there then.
Famous restaurant for a long time, I know, was
one of the best French restaurant, which used to be owned by the Segerstrom. The building used to be owned by the Segerstrom family.
Know. Okay, yeah, it was right off the
freeway. A great restaurant. I love it. It was my favorite restaurant in the world, I'll be honest. But in 87, this guy used to work at the White House. It was a friend of mine, Maître D. Mm-hmm. He invited me there a couple of times for dinner. I went there for dinner, and one time he called me up and said, "Bruno, the restaurant's for sale. The restaurant's for sale." I said, "I don't have much money." I said, "I don't have money." I said, "To buy a restaurant."
This is the White House.
The White House.
Yeah.
But
sometimes I think the real White House is for sale, too, but that's a whole other political discussion here. Right?
Yeah, maybe you should avoid that one.
thank you, Bruno, yes.
At that point, I was able, with my business partner, to go there, talk to the owner of the White House, and we were capable to jump in as a leasing with option to buy. And this was starting in 1987.
And how long had they been there? Because it seems like it had been there forever.
1981 is when the previous owner, Jim Stovall, which I love him, I love his wife, the one who sold it to me, they were there from 1981. And previous that, there was a house built in 1909, which was an historical landmark.
Yeah, it was a White House, yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous building. That's why I fell in love with the White House when I saw it. Basically, that's where I start with. You know,
is that the same guy that owned Mr. Stocks, or am I confusing?
No, you're confusing with Mr. Marshall, which is another friend of mine, sold the restaurant to.
Right, because I know it was another husband and wife team.
No, the Anaheim White House is very close to the City Hall on Anaheim Boulevard, one block north of Ball Road. And you can't miss this. It's a huge white mansion in after that, you hear the new things about that, but it's a really gorgeous place.
Well, and a lot of people don't maybe realize that Anaheim actually is a very old town, and there was a German colony that's down the street.
And do you know why it's called Anaheim?
It's a house of beer, maybe, or something.
No,
like that.
Anna's river. Heim is a river, I think, in German.
I think one has been home. Or Anna's home or something.
Something. It was Anna's home or Anna's. It was near a little river there.
You know what? I saw some picture of Anaheim Boulevard.
I'll look it up again here.
What it used to look like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I think it was the most gorgeous city in Orange County because there used to be a stunning building over there. I love the building.
Well, the interesting thing about Anaheim is there are some neighborhoods that are still there. In that near that area that you were talking about?
Yes, the Colony District.
The Colony District, And there was a lot of industry in Anaheim. There was a lot of, like, you know, we talked about just briefly upstairs, the packing house, for example. You know, there was the orange industry. There was things like that. And it's really nice to see Anaheim actually getting revitalized in this way in the last 5 or 10 years, that it's becoming more and more of a draw.
I believe that the last 3-4 years, it has been the booming city in Orange County. Every corner turn is apartment, restaurant.
Yep.
Before, like, talk about Mr. Stocks, I was the only restaurant in Anaheim with Mr. Stocks beside a few little places. But I think now it's more than 40, 50.
Yeah.
Because with downtown Disney, Garden Walk, I mean, so many restaurants. In fact, I mean, I was alone with the Marshall, the talks before, business was booming strongly. Even when we were slow, we were busy. I mean, we were never been slow, but now it's like more.
Let me interrupt for 1 second. I looked it up on Wikipedia. Anaheim's name is a blend of Anna, after the nearby Santa Ana River. I had it wrong. and Heim, you're correct, a common German word for home.
So see, river home. I'm from river Europe, home. You see, I know a few languages.
Yeah. How dare I challenge the CNN hero?
Just sit quietly in the corner.
Surprised. I was surprised, but that's okay. I forgive you.
Oh, you were forgiven.
I'm a knight.
You were knight.
Nominus Patris, Spiritus Sanctus. Right, I'm a good Catholic. I've been forgiven.
So you had that. That's awesome. I mean, I really am very excited about what's going on in that town, and I think a lot of towns actually could learn from it because they've also, you know, Anaheim was always regarded as just being, you know, Disney.
Right.
And they've kind of broken away from that mold in a way, you know, all the way to City Hall, you know, Mayor Tate. There's a bunch of people that are city council. It's a diverse community. That's all really adding to the flavor, I think, of Anaheim. And it's time. I mean, you got the Little Arabia area on one side. You've got a very strong Latino community in Anaheim. And it's nice to see that blend.
The blend is amazing. Yeah. Anaheim offer more they can imagine. Remember, we have the stadium where Anaheim Angels, you know, or Los Angeles, you know, what you want to call them,
play. Don't get into that one mess here, right?
But, I mean, love them all. You know, I love our team, the hockey, the Ducks.
Yeah.
You have the convention center, which is the number 7 in the country. You have a Disney. You have a 75, 85 hotel, I think. I mean, we have more than anybody else in Orange County. I mean, Anaheim is the place to be this day of age. I mean, honestly, I can't. When people say, oh, you're from Anaheim, like, oh, wait a second here. We have everything here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't need to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. This is the reason they're building so many apartments and condo. I mean, I remember 30 years ago when I came, Anaheim mm-hmm. Boulevard was not
the cute, best place.
No, I was the only cute one in there, I guess.
You're still the only cute one in there.
Wow. I'm still the most beautiful one. But no, the street, now there's some condo 2 blocks away from me.
Yeah.
Stunning. I feel like I'm in Boston when I drive there because it's just beautiful. Big next to the parking house.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Anaheim and Santa Ana have a bad reputation, and it's funny because that doesn't fit anymore. Even, you know, a lot of these areas, especially now with the ability to remote work, for people wanting to have sort of that walkability, to have things around them. So it's taking on a little bit more, like you're saying, those urban centers like Boston, like...
Yeah, also is a city of kindness, as you know. Mayor Tate. Uh-huh. Which started the kindness city, and obviously I'm one of his kindest guy, you know, obviously, but I love the city of Anaheim, honestly.
Let's speed up and talk about the work you did. You were at the White House for a long time, and then tell us the story of how the charity and the work you did evolved out of that.
Okay, April 18, 2005, my mom came to visit me like she usually do in the winter time.
The famous Katerina.
Katerina is her name. But I don't call her Katerina, I call her Mama. And we went to the Boys Girls Club of Anaheim that day, and there was a 7-8-year-old kid eating potato chips. And the director, then Mike Baker, said, you know, Bruno, that could be his own dinner to the kid. I said, why? I said, because we have a lot of motel kids coming to the Boys Girls Club.
Motel kids. I'd never heard the term till you brought this to our attention.
And kids who live on Section 8 also, which is low-income people. I mean, if you live in a motel, first of all, there's no kitchen. If a mom wants to cook for you, she cannot even cook for you.
Yeah.
And if you've never been to a motel room, usually it's a room we can sleep 2 people, but you find 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people in a motel room live there. And
one step away from the street, or maybe one, or they get off the street temporarily here.
And also, a lot of the motel hosting prostitution, drug addict, drug dealer, pedophile, sexual abuser.
Mom's a prostitute, right? She stays at the hotel.
Those kids are, if you live in that environment, it can be one of the bad parents, but not everybody's a bad parent. I met some amazing, great people live in the motel room. It's just there because of economy problem, lost their job, lost their home. It's not their fault.
Challenged. But
that is the situation of a motel.
So the Boys and Girls Club alert you that there are kids living in these motels, some of which are rather low income, you know, seedy motels, poor hotels, all these hotels that are popular.
But remember, those motels, they were the top hotel in Anaheim. When 1950s, what was it?
Yeah, right when Disneyland started.
When
Disneyland
opened, I mean, they were old, nice and everything. Now they turn out old, and the people live at a minimum wage who can't afford a condo in the area. That's where they live. That means press that to mom and translate it from Italian to from English to Italian to her. I say, you know, blah, blah, blah. And mom say, wow, if the kid is not sure to have a hot meal tonight, why don't you feed him a plate of pasta? And that was the click in the change of my life.
I feel like that I one was, moment, because pasta is pretty simple and pretty inexpensive to make, and you make it in big batches, so we got to give him a little pasta.
Well, I grew up very poor, eating pasta every single day, because that's the only food that my mom was able to afford. I wear clothes from people across the street to give to my mom, because she has 7 kids.
Wow.
And just to make a point of the 7 kids, I was the cutest one of the 7.
Well, clearly, clearly.
Just to make sure that...
Although some of your siblings might contest that, but I, you know...
They all do, but I'm a CNN hero. I'm going to knight it.
You're a knight.
They
can
have
tell
to
them, yeah.
be a little silent sometimes.
That's right.
But anyway, I just joking. I mean, I come up very poor, and mom and dad, the only food they could afford was that. At nighttime, I eat milk and leftover bread. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where I grew up. I mean, automatically, my mom saw a kid starving. She said, Bruno, let's feed him some pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And all star that day was the first pasta. And went to Capo Henry in the time, 2 months' time.
No, but how did you get it to him? They come to the restaurant and come were to the back of the building?
No, there's a different way than I do. First of all, I went to my restaurant, cooked the pasta. I've been doing that every single day for almost 13 years.
Right.
I cook a pasta at the restaurant, deliver it to the Boys Girls Club, and the kids eating by 3:30, 4 o'clock, because when they leave at 5 o'clock at night, at least they have a hot meal in their belly. And that's what I want. I want to make sure that those kids will eat my pasta if tonight, for certain situation, they find themselves and they don't have a hot meal, they already have one in my pasta. Mm-hmm. I mean... That's what we do. I mean, that's the principle of Katerina's project, feeding the kids in America, cooking the pasta in my restaurant and deliver it to the boys.
But from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't anticipate. You bit off a little bit more than you could chew. You thought, I want to make a pot of pasta, maybe a couple of pots of pasta here, feed a couple of hungry kids, maybe 50, 100, you know, it grew from there.
Fast.
Yeah, I think people think I'm crazy, but... I'm not, you know. People think I do miracle, and I say, no, the only guy that knows making miracle, he live above me, and it's God. I don't know anybody else. I did not do miracle. Yes, I mean, today, we are 3,500 kids a day.
Wow.
I mean, for the first kid that we used to do, it went to 50 to 200. Now it's 3,500 kids every single day, 5 days of the week, that we've been doing for years. As a matter of fact, in January, I might be able to serve meal number 2 million.
2 million plates of pasta.
Million now that we already serve.
Where are the meals being served? Is it still Boys and Girls Club?
Different place. You know, the first one was the Boys and Girls Club of Anaheim, which I'm very close to them because it's my home, obviously. But now we are in 62 locations in 20 cities in Orange County alone.
Wow.
I mean, expanded all over Orange County in different locations. We have a school, we have church, we have Boys Girls Club, we have a low-income area. But I feed in kids.
That's fantastic.
It's just children.
Now, I'm assuming, though, that in the beginning, that was just you. I mean, I'm hoping now that you get support and people donate supplies and help you pay for... I'm assuming you can't feed that many kids. But in the beginning, Bruno's going to buy some pasta out of the restaurant account here and feeding it to people for free. That started to get a little heavy. It must start to... Like, can I keep doing this? Because kids keep showing up.
I agree. I did it on my own packet for the first 6-7 years, I think it was. And I did not count how much I was spending because money is not part of my life. Kindness is part of my life. Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing. But when the economy crashed, as we all know, 2008, 2009, I realized that the expense of that project was so high. And I was debating by my GM and my executive chef to stop to do that program. I was debating if we should go stop because it cost me a fortune.
And every time you feed one kid, 2 more show up the next day because they tell somebody.
Well, that time, I'll be honest with you, I think it was triple because from 200 kids, the director came to me and said, Bruno, we have a problem. And I said, well, do we have a broccoli problem? Because 4 or 5 months before that, I served pasta with broccoli. and no kids eat it.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's why I have to find the trick. You know, blend the broccoli now in the tomato sauce to make sure to hide it. But non-suburban is not the broccoli this time. It's like the kids is increasing every day. We don't have enough pasta. So, my Lord. So I was really considered to stop. But when he said that, the next day I went to the kitchen. I say, let's double and triple the pasta because we need it. And obviously my GM and my general manager, which is also my nephew, and my executive chef, Eddie, want to cut my head off because they say we can't afford it.
Yeah, right.
But the refinance
money,
the
time, everything. I mean, what are we in the business for, Bruno? Are we here to feed the public? We got to keep the business going.
Well, I had a lot of customers, but they were not paid. They were the kids. And that's my favorite customer anyway. That was the reason. I mean, I refinanced my home.
You refinanced your home?
I refinanced the restaurant.
And you refinanced your home to keep feeding homeless kids. That's putting your money where your mouth is.
Well, that's the way that my parents teach me. The money was not, we didn't have any money. We never had any money, but they had 7 kids, plus mom and dad is 9 people in my own household for a lifetime, and with no money, and pasta and milk and leftover bread, and mama making homemade pasta maybe on Sunday, gnocchis, because I love gnocchi. We grew up with no money, but we all, I'm 5'11", my brother 5'12". I mean, we are not small kids. We then died of starvation. I mean, I feel like we're out, even if I don't have enough money, just feeding kids, it'd be a big deal for a lifetime to those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And especially my backyard right here in Orange County, to see that out was ridiculous. But few things happened. I think God make a few phone calls. He called CNN first. And he told them, is this young boy in Anaheim was feeding kids on his own packet? We need to help him.
Yeah.
Right. And CNN, when God called, I guess, say yes. And after that, God called again, Kitty Curry.
And who was it? Some customer of yours or something? Who decided?
No, the CNN was Frank Groff, is my publicist today. And, he made a phone call, which I own him for a lifetime, because he really called CNN. He say, you have this program, CNN Hero. And,
needs a little exposure. It's going to keep it going. Yeah.
And from CNN went to Kitty Curry, also thanks to Frank and People Magazine. And that is when people start to donate money, because my own customer had no clue what I was doing. First, right. Few of them got mad at me. Why didn't you tell me you do that? I couldn't help you.
No.
I said, well, I was not bragging. I was doing feeding kids.
Not begging, not bragging. You're just doing what
I did for 6 years.
Yeah, right.
But that with the exposure of the media, which always say thank you, and say forget about the fake news, look at the good news, which is the real one.
Yeah.
The media start to give me big help or to get donation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I start to open my 501c to, because people donated more if you have a tax deduction.
Sure, of course. Sure.
And that was a big help. And that's the reason from 500-600 kids then it jumped to 3,500.
And let's plug it. What's the name of the charity and how do people find it?
Yeah. Caterina's Club.
You got to spell that for us, non-Italiano.
Caterina's Club.org. Caterina, but if you go to the White, if you can't remember, go to the White House website, you will see Caterina somewhere.
Is it whitehouse.gov? Oh, that's the other White House. That's the other one. I'm sorry.
You're not going to find Caterina.
You have the good one, and there's the White House.
The Western White House and the Eastern White House. Yeah, yeah. All right, so, and now, is this a full-time passion for you? Is this a full-time thing?
They don't stop with the I didn't start with feeding the kids. I start new project. I have 3 projects on Caterina's Club that are extremely important. Okay, now, feeding the kids, you know what I do, 3,500 cases, 62 locations, 20 seats in Orange County. We also teach to do the same program outside of Orange County. We teach the program to be in Long Beach. We help in L.A. Our program was expanded to personal friends and other people on their own budget in Texas, Chicago, New York, Mexico, Italy, and Africa.
Africa? People are making pasta in Africa here?
In Ethiopia, believe it or not.
In Ethiopia.
Yeah,
okay. Do they know what pasta is in Ethiopia? Have they ever said, it was an Italian colony? What am I saying? Yeah, right.
Thank you. In fact, Mussolini went there. I don't think they're the right things to go there. He went there, and believe me, everybody knows pasta around the world. And if they don't eat pasta, they eat rice.
Right.
Because my teaching on a certain country, or people asking me, I say, You can do rice, or you can do couscous. Yeah. You can please every country around the world. It doesn't have to be pasta itself. But remember, pasta, the thing that push pasta, people ask me, is a very healthy, it's extremely healthy. First of all, because it's carb. I put meat, chicken 2 times a week, bolognese 2 times a week, which give me the protein. And we have the tomato, which is the fiber, which is all the vegetable. Then as a nutrition fact, pasta is one of the best plates you can have it if you put the right ingredient together.
Correct.
And I don't give them 2 pounds of the kids. I just give enough, then it's consistent. And pasta as a food is also very good for the planet, for the fact that then it's not consumed much of the planet. Between
not like raising beef that they got to chew tons of, it takes 10 times the energy to make one.
In fact, it's on my book, Power of Pasta, talk about that too, which is great. I mean, we did that, but I started a new program on Katerina's Club, which is called the Welcome Home. It starts 7-8 years ago, I think. I realized that some of the kids were unhappy when they come to the club. And one time I saw a couple of kids, and they were really unhappy all the time. And I asked my the director of the Boys Girls Club, I said, those 2-3 kids over there, they look like always without
always
smile,
sad. Always sad. Right.
He said, well, Bruno, they are also motel kids. And I said, like, oh, okay, but there's a reason they all these kids are in the motel. He said, well, besides the, what I mentioned before, prostitution,
drugs, prostitution, everything,
those good family, then they live in the motel room, sometimes because they lost everything, they cannot afford to move out because they needed to pay the first and last month deposit.
Sure.
You see, those 3 kids, the 2 kids that you're talking about, they believe in the motel. He said, you know, for how long? I said, how long? I was thinking 2-3 months. He said, for 12 years.
Wow.
I was like, what?
That's their house. Motel
12
room.
Years? He said, yes. In fact, the 2 of the brother and sister were born in the motel room. That means they don't even know what it means to live in a regular place.
Wow.
That means 6 people in the motel room. And the little girl, you know what she does her homework? I say, where? Sit on the toilet, because jeez, that's the only quiet place that she can do homework.
And a little table, kind of, she can work on, yeah.
I mean, just
the toilet acts as a table, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty sad.
In affluent Orange County.
Affluent Orange County, right.
That's
right.
A stone throw
under
away from
our,
Disneyland.
Yes, stone I throw mean, from the happiest place on earth, yeah, right.
As I'm not sure if people remember when I closed my speech on CNN, it was, it's time to stop to talk about it, but to do something about it.
Yeah.
And that is my quote. And I decided to see if I can do something about it with those motel family. And I start to investigate it. And I realized there's some amazing, great American family who live in this motel room. Mm-hmm. The only problem is the deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start to qualify them if they have kids, because I do for the children, number one. I will pay first and last month. They have to have a 6-month job also, because honestly, they have to pay the rent.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, and most of them does, because motel are not free. They're not
so the only thing that keeps them from moving up as they start to get some work is they can't save enough money to pay the first and last deposit.
And
on
these days
of
age, an average family is $4,000, $5,000 to move out.
Yeah.
Those family, no way they can save that kind of a money. It's not easy for people as a decent salary to save $5,000, imagine them. I mean, that's why I moved that first family only for 12 years. I moved them to an apartment, 2-bedroom apartment, which was full of joy to have done that at the first family, but we did not stop that. Now we do 2 families a month, and I already moved 142 families from a motel room apartment. And if you go outside, you start to count 142 apartments, which is almost 1,000 people,
yeah.
It's almost a full village.
Wow.
And that is the best.
People say it takes a village. You created a village.
So where you're moving them to apartments.
Yeah.
Are these, do you have partnerships with some of these developers? How do you,
I work with all the non-profit organization. To move them out, I work very close to Illumination Foundation.
Yeah, sure.
As I love them. And they qualify the people for me. They are more qualified to qualify the people than me. And when they have a family, say, Bruno, we have a family, we tell the family to look the area where they want to, because if you have kids, you want to be next to the school, you don't have a car, we do that, we have
where
organization
you, work,
that we
yeah.
make them in contact with. We work close to everybody, too.
So the family is actually also having a say of where they want to be.
Yeah, because I don't select them where they want to be. Because I cannot move you in Anaheim if your kids go to school in Santa Ana.
Sure.
I mean, you needed to find an area close to you.
And what's this other foundation called? You said sure. I never heard of it before.
Illumination Foundation. I work a lot with Motel Family and the Privileged Family.
Yeah.
I work very close to them with qualified people who look for home.
That's a great organization.
It's a great organization. Orange County. Paul Leon is the executive director.
Right. We should have them in here sometime. They can talk about that work.
I'm sure you will, because he's a good man. I love them. I work with different organizations all the time, because when you meet, when you talk, we're all on the same field, helping others.
Right.
And I'm not the best. I'm not the worst.
Right.
We do the best as possible to make kids in the best as possible.
So, and how long have you been doing this?
7 years to the moving family, and last year I started project number 3, which is the Bruin Hospitality, because I realized the kids after teenager age, they cannot go to Boys Girls Club.
Right.
And instead to be home on a parking lot, I say, what? Because we have, like I mentioned earlier, Anaheim is a boom city of everything. Yeah. Why don't we teach them to be in hospitality, and they can apply job as a restaurant, as a hostess, as a dishwasher, as a chef. With all those hotels and restaurants in Anaheim, I'm sure they can. And matter of fact, we start to do that. We take 60 to 75 kids. We do 12 weeks program, teach them to give them at least confidence to walk to a hotel room, to walk to a hotel restaurant, to apply for a job, because they are all shy, insecure, not comfortable, but being with us for 12 weeks, they get a little bit of attitude at the end of the 12 week, which is cool, but they know what mean work in a business. And I mean, they don't feel embarrassed or unknown to any kind of hospitality.
We should match him up with, just do a plug because it was a different show, who's the other guy that was the executive chef at the Peninsula Hotel, the famous one up in Beverly Hills. Left that position and opened up his own charity. And doesn't he do some of that work where they're trying to train some of these kids to get them off the street?
Bill Bracken does. I think there's a couple of people that do. I mean, you know, we're involved in the hospitality. I mean, who do you have who are, I mean, obviously you're not carrying this thing on your own.
Hopefully not at this point.
Right now, like I mentioned earlier, thanks to the 501(c), we get a lot of donations. I just finished the big one with another radio. I'm sure then you know that is KFI 64 AM.
We don't mention other radios.
We don't mention them, but they are very good.
Like yours.
They're very good. Like yours. I'll be honest. Like you invited me, I'm thanking you to be here. Because
Oh, Bruno, you got to go now. No.
Goodbye. Arrivederci. Ciao. Goodbye, Charlie.
No.
But I mean,
signing with the Italians, not the Irish.
Okay.
We'll
let it slide today. Only because you're a knight and only because you're a hero. We'll let that slide.
Thank you.
Today.
You must. Because
did you bring your sword? Can I use it, please?
I might use it at the end of the show. But no, back with that, Grant, and people sometimes, hey, Bruno, I would like to give a $5,000 to move a family.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruno, I'd like to give a $2,000 to do this. I mean, people sometimes, they say what they want, but when you know me, you know that all the money go to the 3 project. And remember, you feed in the kids, you give them home, you give them a job. Doesn't matter where the money goes.
But you know what? I think, Bruno, the other thing is you're giving them purpose. I mean, you're touching them when they're children. So that's you know, feeding them feeding their stomach, but you're also putting them in an environment, helping putting them in an environment that is safer, that has the ability for a little bit of normalcy, as much as you are able to, right? And then to provide them sort of with a potential apprenticeship or sort of a career path, okay? I mean, that's phenomenal. That's
Serena's Club is all about it. I tell people, I mean
life-changing.
It's a life-changing. It's a 3 program. They're married together very well.
What did your mother think? I'm sorry to ask. I don't know if your mother's still with us or not.
Well, but she's still with me, but she's talked to me from heaven. Never left.
But so what did she live to see all this or any of this come to pass here?
It's funny you're asking the question, because the first year, in 2005, a TV station came. When I started the first kid, a couple TV station came and they filmed me, they filmed mom, they filmed the Boys Girls Club was the first pastor. At nighttime, I turned the TV on and I said, Mom, now let's be quiet. I want to show you something on TV. It's coming at 5 o'clock news. And she see herself on TV. Mm-hmm. There were some little kid give a flower. And I thought, she looked at me and said, like, those people crazy to put me on TV?
Mom, you're a movie star.
And yeah. She was on newspaper and magazines, photo. Every time I showed to her, she told me, well, nuts.
Yeah.
She said, why did they do that? I said, well, because you inspire me to fill in the kids. So yeah. There's no more things. You don't need to put me on TV. You don't need to put me. She was not, I mean, she smiled because she's the one of the most lovely lady I met in my entire life. She was the number one lady in my life.
She just couldn't understand, well, what's the big deal?
Yeah, yeah, that was a big deal. But
how wonderful that she got to see that.
The beginning, obviously. Yeah. At the end, she could not. But at the beginning, I'm sure from heaven she knows what they do. That's the most important things. But come back to the welcome home is one thing I want to share.
Yeah.
I'm getting text messages sometimes because I don't meet the family. I don't want the family to see me and to feel like they're in debt with me.
Right.
There's one thing I can't that happen. But I met few family because of prison, right? But I get some phone calls sometimes or some message. Hey, Bruno, I just want to let you know what happened to my kid. Before I move out to your welcome home project, I live in the motel room, my kid was the worst at school. Mm-hmm. He just came home today with the student of the month.
Student of the month for a motel kid.
Because as a kid, then honestly, the environment that they are is very bad. Emotionally, sure. Mentally, of physically, course. Is horrible to those kids.
Yeah.
The change of the environment, and not just to motel kids, any bad environment for a kid
absolutely.
Is negative. Good environment of a kid is positive. Obviously, that's what happened.
And they can sprout and grow then.
And another lady, which was a mom of three children, then I think we were on Eaton Beach, if I'm not wrong, then I moved them to an apartment too. She texted me and said, "Dear Bruno, I never take for granted what you've done to us to move us to an apartment. Because recently I'm going to breast cancer chemotherapy.
Oh my God.
But instead of to come back to a place called a motel room, mm-hmm. I come back to a place called home, mm-hmm. and I feel so much better."
Absolutely.
Thank you. That makes me cry like a little kid because it's like, yes, we don't think about that. But when you have a flu, you don't feel good, you have a blanket, you're on your sofa, you watch TV at home, you're feel
in
better.
Home. Yeah,
you're if you're in a motel room and you hear screaming.
I got Deborah tearing
up
over
here. So how can people, since we have them, again, I want to give up the website. It's Caterina's
Club.
And it's Caterina with an E.
Caterina, C-A-T-E. It's not K. A lot of people think Caterina is a C-A. T-E-R-I-N-A
Club.
S-Club.
Okay.
But go to the White House if you think it's easy to remember.
Then I'm White House.
At the White House, you can click on Caterina from that.
No, how can people help?
That if you go to that page, you will see donation. And that's the number one thing that I ask it all the time. If you do donation, it's fantastic because I can use the money for all those programs that we use.
How about corporations or other things? Are they good at donating stuff?
We always ask. I mean, I have a lot of people on me that we... I'm not begging, but I talk about it. And I say, you know, if you like to help my organization, this is it. Some people send me $5, then give me tears on my eyes. I don't.
$5 means something to them when they send $5.
Yeah, people sometimes apologize. Say, "Bruno, I'm so sorry. I only can give a $5. An old lady from Wisconsin. I saw you on Kitty Kirk. I say, you know what? $5. I can feed probably 20 kids. I mean, that's what I'm telling you. There's a matter because it takes zero money to be a decent human being.
Zero money to be a decent human being. Boy, there's the quote takeaway right there.
Something we forget.
Takes zero money to be a decent human being. That's never heard it said better.
Do you have people that call to volunteer or to help?
We have a volunteer occasionally because we have so many facilities. Like if people want to volunteer, we send them to facility to serve the pasta. I use lot of volunteer, like when I have the big fundraiser, the gala.
Yeah.
We have a couple of galas coming up at the Marconi Museum right here in Orange County. My annual gala is in
Another good Italiano here.
I love the Marconi. I love the facility. And we have a fight night in March this year, which some of the proceeds we go to
Catering. They do a lot of that fight night over there. It's a cool place. We've never been there. It's a car museum.
A lot of places. It's one of my favorite places to do events in Orange County beside the Nixon
Library, Tustin there,
and also the Casa Romantica, the Christ Cathedral, obviously, which today is my home.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the Hospitality Academy.
Hospitality Academy, it's a 12-week program, like I mentioned. I usually do that for my own restaurant. If nobody knows what happened.
But that's why I was asking, because you have...
I was afraid to bring that up. I didn't want you to throw something
at
me
and
here.
And when, how long ago was that you had the issue with the restaurant?
The restaurant get a phone call February 4th this year. 4:30 in the morning that my restaurant was on fire. Thought there was a joke, but it turned out that it was not a joke. And I was in Anaheim in 30 minutes, and by 5 o'clock I saw my life of 30 years, love of 30 years, passion of 30 years go in flame. I was devastated. I cried a lot. I was uncontrollable. I could not even talk to people.
And where's the justice? All this good work you're doing and something like that happens. Does it make you quite, I'm a good Irish Catholic. It might make me question a few things here.
Because God gave his best soldier the worst battle.
Best soldier, the worst battle. Boy, you got all the answers today.
I think that was the
I'm going to start crying now here.
No, you don't have to, because honestly, I don't have any napkins.
I got a few over here. We're all right.
But that's when I saw that was devastating. But... after a few hours, I was on fire, basically, the restaurant. Some friends called me and said, Bruno, you need a kitchen. And that was the magic word for me at the moment, because how am I going to cook the pasta for the kids?
Yeah.
Then I use Highway 39, which is not a facility, which I use a lot in Anaheim for the first week. But because the kitchen was small, I decided to move to another facility, which they call me and say, Bruno, you have a facility for free. When you reopen, that's the Christ Cathedral in Orange, in Garden Grove in Orange County.
Which one? The Christ Cathedral?
Used to be the
Crystal
Cathedral.
Oh, yes,
from
right. The new, where the Archdiocese is building the new...
yes, Bishop. And,
they called you and said, you have the kitchen.
You have the key of the kitchen. And that was the gift of God to talk about... when you get gifted, because when I go there all the time. I feel
I'm
like I'm
give an extra dollar to the church this week.
Fact,
I'm glad they did that.
I think you should. It is very nice of you. I think
he's going to hold you to that.
I will. Well, you know, because sometimes I wonder if the archdiocese and they have all this money and power, what they do with it.
I'm sure they have to their own struggle. Because remember, in the Catholic Church, the number one priority is helping the poor.
Yeah. Yes,
and
absolutely.
Matter of fact, when Pope Francis was elected Pope, he came out of the balcony and said, "Pray for me. But let's don't forget the poor."
Yes. What a wonderful gesture that was. And then he went down and washed the feet of the prisoners and did other things. He really made that a priority for the church again.
Matter of fact, he did send me a cross, bless. Because I asked him, I told him, Pope Francis, I need your help. I said, can we tell every religion leader around the world to collect pasta on their church service? And if we do that, we will have no hungry children around the world.
Yep. And how'd you get it? Would you just call him up on the phone one day? You probably got his number on speed dial here.
CNN Hero, you can do a lot.
I can't get Francis on the phone here.
And he sent me a letter back. He decided he blessed the rosary and the cross he sent me. And he said he's blessing every single person who has helped me with the pasta. I mean, today, because you interviewed me, you helped me to my project, then you've been blessed indirectly through me from Pope Francis.
I'm feeling better already here.
Yeah, he wrote that.
He had an ego before. I cannot get him through the door now.
I got a little back end from Pope Francis here.
And if you read my book, which is just came out this week, A Power of Pasta.
Let's put the book up. Let's plug the book here.
Yeah,
Power in pasta certainly has been in your life. The simplest.
For those who are watching, there's the book that Bruno's talking about.
The simplest dish that your mother was able to make to keep you guys alive and fed. Pasta's probably like with soup, chicken soup in some cultures, or pasta or rice in other cultures.
What made you read the book?
Okay, well, talk about, finish the discussion of hospitality. I decided to use the hospitality. Bruno Hospitality to do the Christ Cathedral till when I reopen. Obviously, that's where we moved to Christ Cathedral. Yeah, thanks to Christ Cathedral for that. And the project is 12 weeks. We start in January. After 12 weeks, it's done for the year, which is an amazing program. The book, I wrote the book, I wrote a mini book. I mean, I did the mini books in 2011 when I was CNN Hero, but I didn't publish it nationwide. I just did for friends and customers. That's it. But so much has happened, and I say, a lot of people don't know what we do, how they can help children around the world. So maybe the best way is to write a book and maybe inspiring people to to follow mm-hmm. Katerina's project. I don't say follow my step because it won't be mm-hmm. the correct thing to do because a lot of people does good stuff.
But it takes no money to be to do a good deed.
I'm a very good teacher because you learn very fast.
Wow.
Thank you.
I'm going to remember that one. It really takes no money to go to do good, yeah.
Exactly true. I mean, I start to write where my mom come from. I'm from a shepherd family, proud of it. My grandfather...
He was a shepherd, is that what you said?
He was a shepherd. I mean, during World War II, people in the village would just ask, Giovanni, can I get a little bit of milk, a little bit of cheese? And mom tell me the story, and that's where the DNA come from. Mm-hmm. Grandfather, grandmother, and mom. And mom, the same thing, too. When I was in France, because they went there to pick up potatoes and beets, there used to be people from Morocco mm-hmm. Knocking the door to try to sell rag.
Right.
I guess your mom would never buy rag because she didn't even have one penny, right? But what she would tell them, for us, was, mom, we invite strangers. She would bring them to the house with dad and set them on the table, give them a plate of pasta. That was my mom. That's why I grew up that way. Then if I had friends in the house, seven brothers and sisters, I mean, imagine so many kids. She sandwich, a plate of pasta.
That's so Italian, there. Though. Every Italian family ever knew. Like, mangia, mangia, yeah.
Mangia. But for foreign people, as kids, imagine, you know, like, it was kind of a little frightening sometimes, yeah. But that's what we grew up with. I mean, I wrote the story about family, how mom and dad met, where I come from, where I started the hospitality myself, to when I come to America, but also write about Katerina's project, where it starts, how to start your own charity, because some people, a lot of people say, how do you start, how do you do that? I mean, I give some, I don't give the full detail, but I give some impact in the book to understand
what's
how
involved.
Can you open your own 501c3.
I can. You can't open your own 501c3. Come on, you got to be...
You can, and the funny thing is, when it comes to nonprofits, there's a lot of people that are very well-intentioned, and they want to do something, but they also go into it not knowing what it really is entailed. And so they get discouraged when they start facing some of these difficulties.
Yeah.
So if somebody tells them that from the beginning, at least they go in with their eyes open.
And you know why I wrote that?
Not easy.
Because it was a nightmare for me when I decided to collect it. The first 6 years, when I did it in my own packet, I was the happiest guy on earth because I was doing my own money. I didn't care about anything.
No paperwork, no reports, nothing.
When I started to collect money, yes, the income... Double, triple, I'll be honest.
But you got to count for it.
But just a lot of work.
Yeah.
And,
reporting, the right paperwork, the right people in place.
Banking.
You need a lawyer, you need a CPA, you need a...
You got to file reports to keep your...
You need to audit yourself to make sure you're on the right line. That's why I audit team Katerina's Club every year because I want to make sure you're on the right line because I'm a chef restaurateur.
Yeah.
And believe me, I learned so much the last 4 or 5 years because of it. But yeah, the donation came through. I mean, I wrote the book because of that. And the book was done on February the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
February the 4th, tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Restaurant. The book is done on the 3rd and the 4th, your restaurant catches fire. Boy, you're just...
Believe me, the 3rd, I was the book was ready to go to print because my select books is my publisher from New York. Mm-hmm. And he said, Bruno, we're going to get on print first week of February. I said, okay, thank you. Like everything was done. The book was done. On February the 5th, I had to call him and say, please tell me you didn't print the book. He said, no, see, we're still detailing some of the things that they don't know yet. I said, well, I think I need to add a chapter.
Yeah.
He said, well, I said, my restaurant was on fire last night. And he said, well, this is a must. I mean, I wrote the chapter, and the publisher said, Bruno, I don't want to wait a week to get to that chapter. You need to write immediately because I want you to
everything
get emotional.
In the moment.
In the moment. I wrote those last chapter crying and crying and crying. It was so emotional. Every line I was writing on it from the moment I got the phone call, when I was on the phone call from my best friend in Europe, Jiri, and from the moment to the when I called my family, when I got there, the hug from the fire chief of the fire department, Randy, for when I called my sister, my brother.
We've had Randy down here. In fact, Randy.
Yeah, the amazing guy. He's the first hug I received after the fire was from Randy, the fire chief.
He's the fire chief, he's a great guy.
He looked at me and said, I asked him, I said, Bruno, I say, how is it? He looked at me and said, it's bad. And he gave me the most, you see when I said before, it takes zero money to be a decent human being. Yeah. He gave me the best hug. in that moment I could not receive because when he told me it was pretty bad, he knew what my feeling was.
Yeah.
I mean, I put that on the book. In fact, at the last line of the book, I say, 30 years ago, I came to America, opened a restaurant to think about the future in this country. 30 years later, I'm standing up, think what will be my future.
Wow.
And I stopped the book at that. And what is the future? That nobody knows. But yes, I'm rebuilding the restaurant. It should be opening a couple months from now. Mm-hmm. I mean, follow me up on with Facebook, social media. You will see.
I hope you will invite us and let us know so we can
depends
put the word out.
Depends how nice you are with the Catholic Church. You just told me.
I'm going. I don't know about you.
If you keep bringing up KFI, I'm not sure I'm going to go. But
no, I want the KFI to go to be invited for sure.
There he is. OC Talk Radio is not
if
sure.
If I don't, Bill Ander will kick my butt. just joking. You guys will be amazing. But the power of Pastor Book is also one thing I'm telling people, especially during this time. I don't make one penny on it. It costs me money, it costs me 2 years of work. Every single profit.
And a lot of blood, sweat, and tears we heard here, too.
A lot of tears, I agree. Thank you for mentioning it. I work so much on the book, and I put a lot of my emotion, a lot of my personal things on it. And I also have some recipe at the hand. I didn't want to put the recipe myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about the recipe mm-hmm. for the restaurant. I was not advertising the White House. I just want the power past the project, which is
so all somebody
about.
Wants to do this.
Yeah, but the publisher said, no, Bruno, the recipe will help for the sales.
Sure.
And I put like 30, 40, something like that recipe, which people like it. But every single penny profit that's supposed to go to me, go direct to Katerina's Club. They go to the children. The power of past, I didn't want, because the project, why don't you make money? Because I'd say, you don't have a job for a year. You know, my restaurant is closed. I don't make any money because it's really, I don't know,
right,
sales.
Especially with the restaurant being closed, yeah.
I say, I cannot make money from the power of pasta because it's about the kids. I mean, if you buy my book, it's on Amazon.com. It's easy to Bruno Serrat, you know. You can
order it now.
You can order now.
You can get it in a Kindle already. I looked yesterday, but you can also order the hard copy.
Hard copy, which is beautiful. Yeah. You have a lot of pictures inside, which is great. And if you don't want to get Amazon, go to Barnes Noble. It's available that.
Yeah.
And the first week, the sales was very decent. I should say, very good, they told me, but I'm not bright enough.
Well, I actually downloaded the Kindle yesterday because I wanted to look at it, and I plan to order a couple and give them away because I think, especially for people that are in nonprofits, it's a very good book. It also is very much from the heart, and thank you for sharing the story about the last chapter. I was going to ask you, just in general, okay?
As we come to the last few minutes.
If you had to sum up your experience, you know, life experience. People make plans and things happen, right? You have a restaurant that's successful, and then you are writing a book, and you're coming off, you know, having this award and that award, and which shelf do I put it on? And then, boom, there's a fire that happens when you don't expect it. You think it's a joke. It's not a joke. What is life, Bruno? How is life for you? Like, is it faith? What is life for you?
And okay, how do you keep going through all these things? Five kids show up, and you got to feed 50.
Paul was saying, you know, oh, my God, you're one thing after the other, right?
Yeah, let me tell you, my life is very happy. I'm a very happy guy. You don't see me depressed, maybe disappointed about people sometime or think that happened, but I'm very happy.
Have you always been like that?
Always. My mom told me that because before she died, I asked her 3-4 questions, and one was, once she told me, she said, you know, I love all seven the same, because mom loved all seven the same, obviously. But I said, but you had something special because you always do something for your brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
She told me I would just do a little gift on their birthday and the money. She said, you always did something. I will never forget that thing that she always mentioned to us. After that, I asked her 3 personal questions, but I'm not sure how many minutes we have left.
We'll give a couple
it's
more.
Fine. We're good.
I asked her,
is there another show after this? No.
I asked her mom the 3 major questions of my life to her. After that, I answered what you asked me. But I said, mom, I said, what was the most beautiful moment of your life?
Mm-hmm.
She said, every time I give a birth to one of my child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kids was number one priority. I said, mom, what was the worst day of your life? Because, you know, you want to hear that. I say, well, I know you fight with dad a lot, you know. And the answer, without hesitation, she said, when I lost my firstborn, Then the third child, my brother, which I never met, died of bronchitis because of the truck they were on went to the river.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to cry. I said, my mom, I said, oh my God, it's so many years. You still cry? And she said, when you lose a child, you never forget.
No, I can believe that.
And the last question, it was, mom, are you afraid to die?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yes. And that second devastated me when she said, yes, I'm afraid to die, because she believed in God, we believe mm-hmm. in God. It's like, my son said, I'm not afraid to die because of dying. It's because I know that my children will suffer so much.
Those
three questions.
Oh, my goodness. Deborah, we're going to get you some tissues here.
Those three questions, and I did that on a church of the funeral. Obviously, I was the spoke for the family.
The eulogy, yeah.
But those three questions was children, children, and children. I'm one of her children. And the pattern I have on her is, mom did not die. She died 3 years ago, but her life, her legacy is still on. I'm one of the artery of her.
Mm-hmm.
Her heart's still beating. I'm her own blood. This is the part of my life. I represent my mom everywhere I go. Everything I do is her.
Everybody you touch is part of her legacy.
And that's why I said, I mean, God put me on her for that reason. I give her the gift of my mom to have 7 children, 8 with the one who passed away, but that's the part of my life. And I love to do good things to people. I love to help. I'm going to do a scene. Everybody's seen. Nobody is not seen her. But I'm a good boy. I want to help others as much as I can. And that's what the path I have over here.
Don't we always want to be, as we talk about the aging, when we normally talk about aging, don't we all grow up? I was an only child. I always wanted to please my father. Never could seem to get there. But, you know, we always want to be a good boy. You're a grown man, and you still want to be a good boy.
I want to be a good boy for mom. Believe me, mom passed away 3 years ago. Every single morning I wake up, every single morning I look at her picture that is by my computer. And every single morning I sing the little song that I used to sing her every single day when I Skype her 15 years ago for the first time.
What's the song?
Tu sei la mamma più bella del mondo, la mia vecchietta Caterina, la mia mamma Villanova, me pastora.
Which means what?
That means you are the most beautiful mom in the world, my shepherd, my little lady from Villanova, the place where she comes from, the small town. And you are my heart, you are my love.
I think we ended there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bruno, for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you for sharing.
And thanks for sharing what you do. Yeah. Because I think we all need to be a little inspired and a little believers. And
bravo.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. We'll be back next week, I think, is the last show for the year, right?
Yes.
And if you need...
Is that our annual Christmas show where we're going to have a little cocktails and a little crackling fire, maybe?
Well, for sure. I mean, I think we have 2 shows to do that in. But, you know, I really want to also, again, remind people, check out The Power of Pasta, please. Look it up on Amazon. It really is a beautiful gift to give somebody. I'm giving it away for Christmas myself to a couple of people.
And spell his last name just so we get it right. Sir Bruno... So do you say Serrato? Ceruto?
Serrato.
Serrato.
S-E-R-A-T-O. No, S-E-R-A-T-O.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Simple.
I'm leading you up. And also check out the Anaheim White House. The restaurant is almost there. It will be open in the next few months. Get involved with Bruno's charity. If you're looking for donations, I actually was just having a conversation yesterday about what to do for people that, you know, pretty much have everything. And you want to give a gift or something, maybe give a donation in their name. This is really an amazing cause. Your mother, you were saying to me, you just said a minute ago about the children, right? About the children.
Yeah.
Her life was children, children, children.
And not, in the case of your family, every child, right? That was her pleasure. That was the most joy that she had when she gave birth to every child, right? There was no child that was lost. And the saddest when she lost a child. And every day, through Katerina's Club, children are not lost. Children are...
The mom of 7 children is today the mom of millions.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
What a wonderful thought.
Thank you. Okay, see you guys.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.